All the sentimental music comes on, time to give thanks, shows the pumpkins and everything. So the American tradition is that we celebrate Thanksgiving with our family, and we have an enormous dinner, and we get stuffed, and we're with our family and we're friends, and then we give thanks for the whole process. It's a lovely tradition because those people that we know that don't have a family, we invite them with us so that they can have at least for a few hours some sort of family to belong with. And if we have family or friends that can't come, we at least call them up so they can participate in this whole process of Thanksgiving. It's such a nice thing because for once a year, we put away our work, we turn off the internet, the stores are closed, and we put family and friends first. It's a lovely thing. And during this time, we also think of those that are less fortunate, those people whose blessings are so few and are so hard to come by. And that also gives us feelings of thanks because we do have a roof over our heads. We do have enough food. We do have shelter. We can turn on the heat and not be cold. We do have our health, whether we have a bad knee or not. We do have physical and mental health. We're able to come here and it isn't that much of a hardship for us. So we're, you know, this time of year, we're kind of reminded to give thanks, but the problem is the rest of the year giving thanks goes off our radar. And that's a shame because giving thanks is a very important spiritual discipline. It's a real sadhana and one that we should really engage in all year long. I was astonished to find an article of all places in the Wall Street Journal on giving thanks. And it wasn't just because, yes, it was associated with Thanksgiving, but still you wouldn't expect it in the Wall Street Journal, right? So the Wall Street Journal had this long article on giving thanks, and the article said, adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not. Okay? They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. And I thought, duh, of course they're happy. If you're thankful, of obviously you're going to be happier. And if you're happy, you're going to be less depressed. Hello, that doesn't take a scientist. And you're going to be more healthy. And that seems kind of obvious. The Wall Street Journal went on to say that, not surprisingly, thankfulness brings similar benefits in children and adolescents. Kids who act and feel grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, have fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and schools. Okay, good. And this same Wall Street Journal article said that counting blessings can actually make people feel better, at which point I thought, oh my God, these people are stupid. It seems obvious that when you act positive and remember to be positive, you're going to feel positive. If you think bad, you're going to feel bad. I mean, that you hear this on your grandmother's knees. You don't have to hear this from a scientist in the Wall Street Journal, right? So having better health and being more happy is a good thing. I mean, don't mistake me. It's a good thing. But feeling better and how this being thankful and how this makes us feel isn't the reason why we should be thankful. Because giving thanks is actually our appropriate response to life. Giving thanks is the way that we should be all the time. Giving thanks is the appropriate things for all the many blessings, all the many good things that come our way. And as good Vedantins, it's also our appropriate response for all the bad things that come our way, for all the heartache and all the pain that has come. We have to give thanks for that as well. Above all, giving thanks is a very important sadhana. It's a very important spiritual discipline. It's one that I think that if we all just paid more attention, if we stopped, if we went a little slower and just paid attention to all the many blessings we have all year long, we'd all be happier. The world would be a so much better place if we just slowed down instead of spinning ahead and just felt appreciation and gratitude for all the blessings that we have that we don't really take advantage of because we're too busy. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, there's this wonderful vignette of Sri Ramakrishna saying that there was a sadhu whose only spiritual practice was to walk every day to a waterfall. And he would spend all day looking at this waterfall and clap his hands and say to God, ah, You have done well. How amazing. Well done. He would do that all day long. And that was his entire spiritual practice. His mind was absorbed in God. His mind was absorbed in the joy of God because he was aware of the divinity that manifested everywhere, but especially through this waterfall. And that's a real attitude of gratitude. Now, someone else would just walk right on by, concerned about what they had to do that day. They wouldn't even notice the waterfall. And so they would be oblivious to all the joy that they had within them, because the waterfall was just reminding the sadhu of that divinity within his own heart. It's an entire spiritual practice to see the joy of everything that is and everything that we have around us, because everything, as we know, is filled with Brahman. So if we think deeply enough, if we really consider this seriously, we'll also give thanks for all the heartache that we've suffered, all the grief that we've caused ourselves, and unfortunately the grief that we've caused others. And we'll give thanks for every mistake that we've ever made in our life. All of us have made some major mistakes in our life, and we have to give thanks for that too. Swami Vivekananda said, "There have been many mistakes in our lives. Glory be unto us that we have made mistakes. Take a long look at your life," he said. "If your past condition is good, it's been caused by all the past mistakes as well as the successes. Glory be unto success, glory be unto mistakes." Mistakes are often how we learn, and often it's the most painful mistakes that are the ones that have given us the hardest and the best lessons we've ever had. They have the most lasting effect, and we remember them really well. The truth is, if we didn't experience as much pain as we did joy, we would not have the impetus to move forward in our spiritual life. That's really the truth. We wouldn't be here today, all of us, if we hadn't had every bit as much pain as we did joy. So knowing this, why do we tend to run short on giving thanks? Why do we run short on gratitude? Well, there's some people actually don't. There are some people out there who are actually express joy and are actually feel happy with the smallest thing, that they don't take anything for granted. And they're so happy with the littlest thing. And we might run into them. We think, wow, I wish I could be like that. Because most of us aren't like that. Most people, I think, we take these ordinary things for granted. We just take these simple blessings for granted and we just continue with our lives in this big hurry. And this is a common tendency. But I think it's important to change this tendency and to make it a positive tendency of not taking things for granted and really feeling thankfulness and appreciation for these ordinary things that we have. A lot of us have a tendency to be just lazy, to be tamasic. And that's if things are bad, we tend to blame external situations or other people instead of putting the ball in our own court and saying, no, this is something that's actually my issue that I have to deal with. It's my own karma. But as a good Vedantist, we know that happiness is an inside job. We all know that we're responsible for where we are in our life right now. We've all created our own past thoughts and actions have put us exactly where we are now. And our present thoughts and actions will determine our future. So our life, as we are experiencing right now, is no one else's responsibility but our own. So we know then that we can't blame others, we can't blame any external situation for wherever we may be, either externally or internally. Our happiness is dependent upon our own mind, and no one but ourselves can change the content or the quality of our own mind. We've all created the mind that we're dealing with now, this little universe that we're carrying on the top of our necks. We've all created this little thing, and no one but ourselves can create it into the being that we want to be with. And often to change the direction requires some habit, a change of habit and some directions and positive thinking, but it can be done. Now, giving thanks sounds trite, but it's not really that easy as it sounds. It's very easy to walk up to a glass on a table and say, oh my God, you see some water in it and say, oh, that glass is half full. But we shouldn't be thinking the glass is half full or half empty. We should be thinking, I've got a glass. There is a glass there. I'm so grateful that there is a glass. Because if we see the glass as half empty, we've taken out that water ourselves. We ourselves have changed that scenario. When we learn to practice thankfulness, we see the glass exactly as it should be, and we give thanks for it. One of the scientists that the Wall Street Journal quote says that thankfulness requires self-reflection, the ability to admit that we are dependent upon the help of others, and it requires the humility to realize one's own limitations. So in order to develop real thankfulness, we need to lessen the grip of the ego, which is always the problem, isn't it? And that's always all hard work. We don't like to do it because we like our ego so much. It's so sweet. Everyone else's ego is the problem, but my ego is so reasonable, so rational. It's so me. So it's other people's ego, but we really have to deal with our own ego. And the more the ego asserts itself, the less thankful we can be, because we think we make ourselves the center of the universe. When the ego loosens its grip, then we realize how much everyone and everything else has contributed to our lives in this world. You know, Americans are extremely individualistic, and that has its good side. We're independent cusses, and it has a very good side. We're famously strong and self-reliant, and Swamiji loved that about Americans. But it also has its downside. It turns into the Marlboro man. I can do it by myself. I'm going to do it when I want, and get out of my way. And that's the problem, because it's just ego assertion. It's just, you know, it's just one big ego with a cigarette. So that's not what we want to be. The Indian worldview tends to be much healthier, because the Hindu worldview tends to see everything in a web of relationships, where everything is nurtured, everything is kind of in this web of mutual support. And that's a very healthy way of thinking, rather than an individual sticking out, remembering of how much support, how much love, how much caring we have and nestled in this world to get where we are today. We all, every one of us, are standing on the shoulders of thousands of people, literally thousands of people. And if it wasn't for all these literal thousands of people, we wouldn't be here today. We have to be thankful for our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and that whole genetic pool that we've come from, our aunts and our uncles, our sisters and brothers, our nephews and nieces, our childhood and teenage friends, our coworkers, our colleagues, our bosses, our mentors who've supported us and given us ideals to follow through with, our fourth grade teacher who saw in us maybe a little glint of promise, our coach, the piano teacher who was really mean to us, our singing teacher, the kid who knocked us down and forced us to fight back against our will. It was good for us. The teachers who gave us too much homework and we complained, but they made us study and we learned what we never thought we could learn. Our friends' parents who opened up their homes and their refrigerators to us without complaining. All these people shaped our lives, and they've made us who we are today. We should never forget them, none of them. We should always give thanks for everything that they gave to us and how much they've nurtured us throughout our lives. We should be grateful for that. Yesterday, I went to downtown to the Washington Mall to see all the various museums, and I wanted particularly to go to the Museum of the American Indian. And as you walk in the building, there's this bronze plaque, and it has on it a prayer of the Seneca Indians. It says, "We give thanksgiving to the many supporting us, to the many supporting our lives, the corn, the beans, the squash, the wind, the sun." How lovely to realize that just in our very everything that we've been given from the universe, how much it supports and nourishes us, and how much we should be thankful and appreciative of that, rather than just thinking, okay, that's down, next. throw the wrapper in the garbage. All of this makes us realize that we can't take anyone or anything for granted. What would our lives be like if we didn't have the garbage men to pick up what we just casually throw away? We just toss it away. What about the people who come and pick it up for us? We know what it's like when they don't pick it up. But do we ever express our thanks? Thank you so much for doing that. When you go into a restroom, thank you, whoever's cleaning it up, thank you so much. I really appreciate you keeping it so nice. I know how much work goes into this. Thank you very much. What about the people who make the water so we can just drink the water when it comes out of the tap? We know what it's like to be in a place where you can't drink the water. It's really a pain. We can just drink the water that comes out of the shower. What a blessing. Most of the people in this world do not have potable water, the majority of people. What a blessing that we can have that. What a blessing that we can call on people who can fix the heater, the plumber, the person who comes in to fix the computer. You know what it's like when your computer breaks down. Someone can fix it. Thank you. Thank for all these people who add so much to our lives. What to speak of the people who've composed the music that we love so much? The people who've given us the songs that give meaning to our lives. The people who have given us art that makes our hearts sing. Without all these people, our lives would be so desolate. Without the music, the art, all this, the drama, all this creativity, the stories, the reading that we can do. All of this has enriched our lives so tremendously that we forget what it's like not to have it. In fact, we forget a lot of things until we just don't have it. I didn't appreciate my knee until I tore my meniscus, and I think, oh God, I didn't really thank you, knee, until you weren't there for me anymore. And it reminds us that we're all interrelated and interconnected, which is one of the big teachings of Vedanta. Swamiji emphasized that again and again. That's why giving thanks is such a wonderful spiritual practice, because it reminds us that we all live in this unity of existence. Whatever we see, whatever we experience, is just a manifestation of that infinite Brahman. Swami Vivekananda said in America, trying to teach these stupid Americans, oneness is the law of the universe, he said, and that truth is the root, the real root of all acts of love and compassion. The Atman, my true self, is the same spirit that dwells in all. Consciousness cannot be divided. It's all pervasive. My Atman and your Atman cannot be different. For that reason, Vedanta says, love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor is yourself. That divinity at the core of our being, the Atman, is the same divinity within every being, within everything in this universe. The same divinity that pervades the world within our hearts is the same divinity that pervades the sun and the moon and the stars. Some of you may remember Swami Lokeshwaranathji. He was a senior monk of our order. He used to tell me that at night, whenever he was in a place when it wasn't polluted, he would open the curtain and he would look out at the stars just to remind himself that the same light that illuminated his own heart was the same divinity that was in the stars. You know, what a wonderful attitude. What a way to see the universe. That we're all that same infinite light of consciousness, the same light of divinity. And we give thanks for that. Thankfulness, the practice of thankfulness makes this truth, this practice real. It makes this truth real. It makes us lose our self-centeredness, which is our whole problem in the universe, and realize that we're all here through the grace of God, through the grace of the universe and the grace of all the many beings that have supported us. The great Christian mystic Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that will be enough. As we get older and we reflect more deeply on our life, we realize how much we have to be thankful for, and that is good, because being thankful just wears away at our egotism. It removes our self-centeredness. It just kind of reminds us, you know, we're not the center. We are not the center. The great Roman orator and philosopher Cicero said, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, it is the parent of all other virtues. And I thought, huh, why? Why is that? That's not something we often think about. Well, it's the parent because virtues cannot grow unless there's a loss of egotism. Thankfulness gives us perspective by reminding us how much we've benefited from others. When we think deeply about this, we develop humility and sympathy for others, and we become less self-centered, less selfish. And as we know, the basis of all religion, the basis of all spirituality, is a loss of selfishness. Swami Vivekananda said, are you unselfish? That is the question. If you are, you will be perfect without reading a single religious book, without going into a single church or temple. Okay, now we can all go. Another good thing about giving thanks is that it keeps us in the present moment, because most of us tend to, like, we can easily get caught up in this fantasy world about the future. Oh, if I do this, then this will happen. Then we get drawn into this fantasy land, which will 99% chance will never happen. We just go into fantasy land. Or we can rehash the past and get preoccupied with what happened or what should have happened and make our lives miserable or the other people miserable. It doesn't relevant. It's over. The future hasn't happened. By being thankful for what is here right now, we stay here in the present moment, and we're grateful for that. Swamiji always said the real karma yoga is making our actions and the result of actions the same. And that's really the whole secret of what they call, being in the present moment. That's real karma yoga. Being thankful is the means to that. You can just stay here and be appreciative for what there is. By giving thanks, we can really be grateful for what we have right now. Right now, what we should be very grateful for is the fact that we're here at all. In this country, we have freedom of religious choice. This is a very rare opportunity. Most of the people in the world don't really have this opportunity. We couldn't be doing this in Saudi Arabia. We couldn't be doing this in Pakistan. We could not be doing this in China. And we'd be having a really tough time with this, even in Switzerland. 200 years ago, we could not do this in America. We should be very grateful. We belong to a minority religion in this country, and we're not only given freedom of religion, but the current president has quoted Vivekananda. Our Secretary of State is appreciative of Vivekananda. This is something for us to be grateful for, because we are very much the minority in the world as far as that we're able to practice this, not only without fear, but with positive encouragement. We should never take that for granted, never. We should be grateful to the fact that we're here at all, that we're healthy, that we're fairly strong, that we've got a car, that we can get here. A lot of people in the world have no way of getting anywhere except for on foot or on bike. We should be grateful for the fact that we can breathe, that we can stand, that we have fairly good cognitive abilities. Many people don't. Our bodies are miracles in motion. We should never take them for granted. It's just wonderful how well they work. In fact, we often just take everything for granted until it's taken away from us, and then we miss the knee that works, or the ankle that wasn't broken. Or worst of all, we miss that person that did so much for us, and they're no longer there for us to thank. It's important for us to feel gratitude and express it before that moment happens. We should not only be grateful for those who have helped us in life, but also for those who have actually wished us ill. The Dalai Lama famously said that he's grateful for the Chinese for giving him the opportunity to practice love for one's enemies. Now, most of us don't want to be put in that situation, but he said, our enemies give us the most crucial chances to grow. And it's true. It's also true that if our minds are in the right place, we can really learn from those people that we don't like. Because we can learn from them what we don't learn from others, because often it's those people that we don't like that mirror back to us the qualities that we don't like in ourselves. We don't have the courage or the ability to see it in ourselves, but we can sure see it in others. So if we see it, a bad quality in others, almost always it's because we have it ourselves. And Swami Vivekananda wrote about this to J.J. Goodwin. I think it's one of the most important things that we can learn in Vedanta, is what he wrote to J.J. Goodwin. He said, we Vedantists, in every difficulty, ought to ask the subjective question, why do I see that? Why can I not conquer this with love? It's so profound, just two sentences, and if we really lived by that, our lives would be so much sweeter. Giving thanks is not about being a Pollyanna. It's not being saccharine or saying that everything is rosy mentality. It's a simple way of acknowledging that we're in the debt of many, and we ought to be thankful for it. And this, I think this is a real, it gives us humility,
and it gives us contentment. And both of those are really prerequisites for a fulfilling spiritual life. The attitude of being thankful also means not harping on the negative and of not criticizing those around us. Holy Mother Srisaradevi famously said, if you want to find peace of mind, do not find faults with others. Rather see your own faults. Learn to make the whole world your own. No one is a stranger, my child. The whole world is your own. Well, isn't that the basic teachings of Advaita Vedanta in a very sweet form? Both Mother and Swami Brahmananda spoke of emphasizing a person's good qualities in our minds and just forgetting their faults. Well, why? It's so much fun to see their negative qualities, because then we can really think about our own good qualities and their negative ones. Well, both of them said, because by thinking of a person's negative qualities, those negative qualities actually pollutes our own minds. We end up absorbing them and enacting those very faults that we criticize. Swami Brahmananda said, you must never find fault with others nor criticize them. Such a habit, he said, is extremely detrimental to one's good. By thinking of the evil qualities of others, they will be impressed on your own mind, and that at the cost of whatever good tendencies you may possess. He said, always cultivate the habit of looking at the goodness of others and doing them honor and praising them, even though only a slight bit of goodness may be in them. He said, take it from me. If you do not show due regard for others' greatness, your mind will never expand. Holy Mother said, people find faults in others after bringing down their own mind to that level. Does anything ever happen to another if you enumerate their faults? It only injures you. If someone does a trifle for me, I try to remember him even for that little thing. To see the faults of others, she said, one should never do it. I never do so, she said. Forgiveness is tapasya. That's such a wonderful phrase. Forgiveness is tapasya, spiritual practice, austerity. Mother speaks of forgiveness, which means of just letting go. Letting go of hatred, letting go of anger, letting go of those little resentments that we may carry around in us for years together. All those negative reactions harm us. It doesn't harm the people that we're resenting. They don't care. We're the ones who bear the burden of it. We bear the burden not only physically and emotionally, but also spiritually. And it's something that we pay the tax on our own emotions. We often hang on to these negative emotions because we think we've earned them. I was wronged. I am right. That person's wrong. I'm angry. Self-righteous anger. But we know better than that. The law of karma tells us that whatever we've experienced, we've done ourselves. Nothing comes to us except that we've earned. We all know that. So no matter what we've endured, no matter what we've suffered, no matter how much ill has been done to us, it has eventually led us to a place where we are now. The truth is that all of us, no matter what we've suffered, come to a greater spiritual good through whatever processes that we've undergone. If things were rosy all the time, none of us would seek anything higher. All of us have the tendency to kind of get lulled along in life. You know, if nothing is bothering us, then we're content to just kind of lay on the surface of life on the waves, and pretty soon you're old and you've done no spiritual practice. Why? Because we're comfortable. If things are comfortable, then we won't try to do anything more. So it's the pain of life that gets us out of our comfort level to realize, oh, this ain't going well. I better do something about it. We realize when we come into a portion of pain in our lives, that we realize that when the rubber hits the road, what Swamiji said, that we are not the body or the mind, that we are children of immortal bliss, that we are pure, immortal, and free. And that is our real nature, and that nothing or no one can ever take that away from us. And when we come into a bit of pain and we can remember that, that gives us infinite strength. And it also gives us the capacity to open our hearts to others and expand our own mind and hearts so that we can be of service to others. When we learn to forgive, to be at peace with the bad and painful things done to us, then we can really be free. And until then, we can't. then we can start experience the joy that is our own real nature. That's who we really are. Joy is who we really are. If we hold on to anger or resentment, we'll never be able to access that. You know, Albert Einstein said the best thing. He said, you know, there are two ways to live your life. One is that nothing is a miracle. The other way is that everything is a miracle. If we choose to see everything as a miracle, as something to be thankful for, if we choose to do that, then we can really be happy. If we are happy, then the people immediately around us are happy, because as we all know, moods are contagious. No one wants to be around someone in a bad mood. If we are happy, that goes to the people directly around us, they transmit that outward, and then the world just becomes a gentler, better, more joyful place. So in conclusion, let me thank all of you. You've done so much. This center is a mecca in this country. It is beautiful. How much love, how much hard work, how much dedication has come into this place. And you might think you're doing it just for this center, but don't think the people in the centers around the world don't know about this place. They do. They've heard about it. All the devotees in all the centers have contributed so much. And for that, all of us are grateful. Thank you.